Now, I'm now going to be joined by MacDara Doyle. Are you there, MacDara?
I'm there.
Oh,
I'm here,
hi.
Sorry.
Now, MacDara is from the ICTU, and you're about to raise the roof in a housing protest. It's a rally to highlight the homeless situation, and that's happening on the 3rd of October. So do you want to tell us about why you're doing this on that particular day?
It's much, much wider than the homeless situation. It's about the entire housing crisis.
Right.
And the homeless crisis or the homeless problem we see in our streets and people are experiencing every day. It's just one symptom or one manifestation of a much wider housing crisis.
Yes.
And other symptoms of that housing crisis are young workers on middle and medium and low and average incomes unable to buy a home, unable to find a secure place to rent, unable to find a place that's affordable in terms of rent, unable to find a place to rent where they can actually have some sort of security of tenure in terms of being able to stay for a long period of time, you know, faced with eviction on a landlord's whim in a sector where they have no protection.
Mm-hmm.
And students, and it affects all sectors of society. And Raise the Roof is an initiative of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, the National Housing and Homeless Coalition, the National Women's Council, and USI, the Union of Students in Ireland. We're trying to, demonstrate or show to people that the housing crisis is something that is affecting everybody in different ways.
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, like, there's workers here in the country who are working, they're part of your unions, whatever, the ICTU, but they're working and they can't afford to have a home. There's students who can't afford to rent places because landlords just are putting up and up the rent. And it's become just crazy that nobody has said stop, you know, and put a ceiling on things.
You know, trade unions and a whole range of other bodies, you know, like the housing advocates and housing experts and housing agencies and community groups and campaign groups, and a whole range of others have been saying this for a long time. But I think what we're trying to do now on October 3rd is to say it in a joined up way. For some time now, a lot of good people have been working in parallel or to each other on this issue and trying to find ways to address the crisis. And what we were hoping to see on October 3rd, and what we're trying to see, is bringing that whole range of civil society bodies together, that whole range of representative groups together, to show, as I said, that it is a crisis that's affecting everyone across all different sectors of society. I mean, just to take the issue of young workers, I mean, it's no use to you if your wages go up by 5 or 10%, although I know no sectors where there's wages going up by that much.
Mm.
If your rent then goes up by 10 or 15%.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and what's happening there is that people are sacrificing and paying out so much rent that their standard of living is suffering because they've less disposable income. They can't. They're paying out so much on rent, they can't afford to spend on many other things that they would normally do. And they're denying themselves. We conducted a survey here in Congress of members, particularly young members, a while ago, and we found that a huge number and a huge range of people were actually effectively suffering because of the housing crisis and their housing. I mean, one in every two of the people we surveyed were borrowing or sacrificing basic needs to pay their rent.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's really bad. You know, it's not even about, well, they can't go out for a night out. That'd be lovely, even if it was once a month. But to think that families, you know, are trying to feed themselves, even just essentials, can't do it just because they're trying to keep a roof over their head.
Even on top of that, even if they are paying the rent and managing to make the bill every month, they have no security of tenure because tenants in this country do not enjoy the rights that are enjoyed in many, many and most other European countries and even in cities in the United States where you have security of tenure and you can. Because, you know, having a mortgage doesn't suit everybody. Some people will want to live in the rental sector. And, you know, the rental sector now, I think, accounts for probably about 20% of people living in this country. And that suits some people. But in other European countries and in the cities in the United States, such as New York, for example, I've personal experience of that from family, people who are in the rental sector will have long-term leases and long-term tenancies and will have guaranteed rental rises, so the rent will only rise by a guaranteed agreed maximum every year. So they can plan with confidence and in terms of their spending and in terms of what they can afford and not be subject to the crazy whims of the market and speculators that's happening here.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've seen it firsthand myself. I was renting for many, many years. I was 6.5 years, actually, in the last place I was in. And the place went into receivership. And the banks then wanted me out to double the rent. They literally doubled the rent overnight and got a couple into my apartment that I'd been in. And it was just, you know, that's just crazy. How is it allowed to happen? There has to be some sort of a ceiling put on what these landlords can make, how much profit. And that was actually the banks. The banks had took it over. So it was now in receivership and they doubled the rent. You know.
Well, look, I mean, the reason we've called the rally, and the rally was called with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, with the support of the other groupings, the reason we've called it for October 3rd is because on that day, that afternoon in the Dáil, there's a motion on housing going to be debated. Now, the motion is quite unique in that it's an agreed motion between about five or six different parties, including Sinn Féin, Labour, Social Democrats, Greens,
People Before Profit,
Profit and Solidarity. So they've all agreed the terms and text of this motion, and they're all going to support it when it comes up for debate. And the motion just calls for three or four very simple things: that we recognise that there is an emergency in terms of housing, that we start building public housing on public land, because that's something we're not doing. We're not building housing the way we used to. Public housing, public and affordable housing for people, not housing that people can't afford. That's pointless. It also calls for action in terms of preventing people being evicted into homelessness. Again, that's completely pointless, because the cost of that simply falls on the state. And it also calls for action in relation to the rental sector in terms of certainty over rents and security of tenure for tenants. So that motion is being debated, as I said, on October 3rd, and that's why we've called the demonstration for that day. I suppose to kind of drum up support or show our support and ask people to show the support and to show that there are solutions to this crisis, and it's not a case of having to wait for another 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, at that stage you'll have kids who'll have grown up in homelessness.
Yes, yes.
Families who'll have grown up in homelessness.
In hotel rooms and
Yes,
it's just,
and the emergency measures become permanent.
I know, but why do you think it is taking so long? Why are they sitting back and allowing this to just keep escalating? You know, and nothing seems to be, no concrete plans seem to be put in place.
Well, almost every day of the week they announce a new plan, and they announce some other measure that they say is going to work and is working, and we get bombarded with statistics. But from our perspective, the big missing factor in this whole equation, the missing element in this whole equation, is the fact that the state and local authorities are no longer building public housing.
Yes.
And that has taken a huge amount of supply out of the market, and that has meant the entire housing market is based around private developers. It's left entirely up to them. Now, there's no other country in the world, as far as we're aware, that does this.
Yes.
That leaves its entire housing market dedicated solely to, or run solely by, private developers. Whose only motive at the end of the day, and this is what they're in it for, that they don't disguise the fact, is to make a profit. But when you're talking about basic human needs as against the needs of profit, well, something has to give. And that's where the state should be stepping in, and that's where the state normally and traditionally stepped in. Did so in the 1930s, did so in the 1950s, did so here in the 1970s, when we had far less resources to spend but was building a couple of thousand social or public houses every year. And that's what's missing in this climate. I mean, I think, you know, I'm just looking at the figure here. We're building tiny bit. In 2017, there were 394 homes built by local authorities all across the country. 394.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's just a drop in the ocean.
In the 1970s, we were building several thousand. So that's the huge missing element in this whole equation. And that's probably the first thing that needs to be done, and that's one of the things they are not doing at the moment.
But would it not be good if they came in and put a, you know, a ceiling on what the landlords can charge for a particular property, put in place some sort of guidelines as to what can be charged, you know?
Well,
because
are, I mean, there are ways. Other European countries and the United States, in cities in the United States, they have different models. They have rent controls. They have rent,
but they don't seem to have that here.
Increases. They have different models of renting at cost, where you know rent is effectively subsidized and so on. There's a whole range of different models. That play out across, and you know, we wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel if we started here. There are plenty of models we can adopt to the Irish to the Irish circumstances.
But you know, even with regards to going back to, you know, landlords and people needing a home and they're renting a home, and then the landlord puts up the rent and whatever, and especially if they are on any supplementary benefit, rent allowance or whatever. The rent allowances were just ridiculous. They were saying, go out and find basically a dog box, find some little dog box or a shed somewhere for, you know, 400, 500 a month, where you're not going to find it because the rents are so high. So that's leaving them that the only place they have to say that they're homeless, and they end up in these hotel rooms. It's just this vicious circle that they need to say, well, right, we're going to stop the landlords charging this much. We're going to up maybe the allowances in order to help them get into these places. You know, it's just common sense, really, at the end of the day. And you're
sorry, you're shaking
your head. Every one of us are going, why is nobody doing something about it? You know, why is it taking so long for them to just say, right, enough is enough? You know, you have to stop. You can't charge that much for this dog box.
Even there's wastage. I mean, the state is spending, you know, in support, rent support, and rent support, you know, has to be given for people who are in difficulty.
And
need shelter. But we're spending about 900 million a year in that, and it's going to go up at current rates to about 1.5 billion every year.
I know.
And that's the money that's going from the state effectively to private landlords. Now, that money, you can't do it overnight because you couldn't change it overnight because you couldn't withdraw that support overnight. But over time, that money should be channeled towards building houses. Because long term, it costs less to build a house than to endlessly pay out high rents to private landlords.
Yes.
So if some of that money was diverted into building homes that people could be housed in, rather than constantly being spent on subsidising private sector landlords, that would make a lot more sense. And the asset would remain with the state. We'd be building an asset that we'd have control of and ownership of.
But then why is it, I mean, only there recently, you know, they buy up land and whatever, and then they say, oh, we're going to build a house. But so much of it is for private sector, for people buying. There's still only a tiny amount that they're giving to social housing. Is there a problem with that they don't have the resources to build these houses?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a political issue at the heart of government, that government doesn't believe in public housing. Or doesn't believe that public housing is part of the solution. I think they believe that the private developers can meet all the housing needs of everybody in the country, and that's
just
not possible.
Ridiculous.
You know, the private developers, any developments that you will see, the vast majority of them that you will see, and there are developments taking place all around Dublin City, the vast majority of them are for high-end purchasers.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're very expensive developments.
Yeah.
They're not affordable. They're not meeting the needs of people. They're not addressing the housing crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's only recently there, just here local, another development of 12 humongous houses that, you know, nobody that is a homeless or on the housing list could ever try to get on, you know, or young people trying to get their first home. They'd never be able to get the deposit up for these places, you know, to try and get a mortgage for them. So I don't know. It's just, I'm delighted that you're actually highlighting this, and that so many parties are getting in as well to support that on the 3rd, you know.
Yeah, as I said, there's an awful lot of people have been working perhaps in parallel on this for a long time, and
yeah.
You know, hopefully now we can join forces and make the point that this is affecting everybody and everybody needs to respond.
Yes. And are you hoping to have, you know, can anyone go to this rally? The more the merrier to be there.
It's the public. Obviously, we're focusing on bringing our membership out. And obviously,
yes.
It's a lunchtime rally at 12:30 on October the 3rd outside Leinster House. It'll, you know, limited in respect to people who are in and around the city centre or in the city or on a day off from work or whatever it may be. But yes, we're advising our members to attend where possible, even just for a short period of time. And obviously all the other parties involved in this and the campaign groups and the housing groups will be doing the same with their membership and their supporters.
Great. Well, we wish you luck with it. And that's the 3rd of October at 12:30 outside Leinster House, the Raise the Roof rally.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks so much,
Mac
Dara, for talking to me today. And good luck with the rest of that, with your the housing problem. I don't know. There's a lot to be done, but there's so much to be done on that. And really, people, if you're in the area, get out there and stand beside these people to say that you do want change, and you know that this is the housing crisis is an issue for everyone. So get out there on the 3rd of October, Raise the Roof rally outside Leinster House.